Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Daniel Day Podcast, a podcast all about discipleship and leadership. I'm Daniel Day, your host. Welcome to the program. Hello, friends. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Daniel Day, your host. And right now, I have the extreme pleasure of introducing to you Dr. Samuel Kojaglanian. I hope I said the name correctly. Welcome, sir.
You nailed it. Yes, sir. It's great to be with you and the precious people who are listening to us.
Yes. Well, listen, as we get started, I always have my guests open us up with a word of prayer. Would you ask the Lord's blessing over our conversation?
Amen and amen. Father God, we just want to thank you. We bow before you. We join the cherubim in Revelation chapter 4, where they're constantly saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come." You're a beautiful God. You're the Savior of the world. You're the only God that lives. So we bow before you. We worship you. And Papa, whatever we say, whatever we do in the next 30 minutes, 45 minutes, may it be pleasing to you. May it be an aroma of sweetness that comes to you, Father, and may we change the world, but not how we speak, but what we do in love in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, welcome everyone to the program. We have Dr. Sam Kojaglanian, and I am not afraid to try and say that last name. And I was actually practicing it before the interview, and I was happy to hear when you told me how to pronounce it, I was actually practicing it correctly. So, Dr. Sam, welcome to the podcast. It's a pleasure, sir.
It's great to be with you, buddy. And you say Kojaglanian like you're Armenian, man. You got it packed down. It's awesome.
Well, you know, I heard somewhere if you say your last name five times fast, you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of praying in other tongues. So I was really trying hard.
No, I'm just That's awesome. Around.
Yeah, man, it's such a pleasure. For those of you who are listening today, for many of my audience, this might be the first time they have the privilege of getting to know you. Let me introduce Dr. Sam. He is an award-winning heart doctor in California. He travels the world, preaches the gospel, has a very wonderful ministry. He's an author of several books. And it really is a great privilege to get to speak with him. We could interview Dr. Sam on a number of subjects, but today I just want to have a conversation about Jesus and what he has done in Dr. Sam's life. So, Dr. Sam, give us a quick testimony, brother. Tell us about yourself. Introduce yourself. Tell us about your family and where you're from. Let us get to know you a little better.
But yes, sir. So born in the Holy Land, Jerusalem, on the Mount of Olives, hard to believe. And then there is a hospital on the Mount of Olives, y'all. So I was born there, grew up there. You really don't know that you're in the Holy Land until you come to America. At the age of 5, I gave my heart to Christ because my mom was a Sunday school teacher, and she was teaching that there is a man who loves you. There is a man who died for you. There is a man who will carry you. It's like in Isaiah chapter 41, and it's he is like the shepherd. He is like a shepherd that not only feeds you, but he's the shepherd that holds you in his arms, and he brings you close to his bosom, and he will lead you. Who can find a God like that? And so he said, your friends may sabotage you, your friends may stab you in the back, but there is one friend that will never leave you, never forsake you, always love you, never sabotage you. Go with this friend. I said, sign me up right now, right here. And so I just gave my heart to Christ at the age of 5. Also at that time, I knew that he had called me to be a heart doctor. He had whispered that in my heart. He had written on the tablets of my heart that I was going to be a heart doctor when I grew up. So two great things happened to me at the age of 5. We moved to a crazy, crazy, crazy place called Chattanooga, Tennessee. And boy, I was a foreigner. I was beat up, not because I'm a thug, but because I'm just different. And so it took a while to assimilate, took a while to learn the language of English. Some people still think I don't know English. It's all good. So it just took a while. You just have to love the people's back. You fight on your knees. You fight in prayer. And that's how my parents taught me to fight on my knees, not with my fists. And so things turned around. I was voted the best all around student in a couple of years by those who hated me. And then ultimately we moved to California. Now I'm a California boy, practicing medicine in California, Southern California, being a heart doctor here. It's a great privilege to do what I get to do. Rejected 27 times to medical school, being told I don't have what it takes to be a heart doctor. But let me tell you, when God puts a dream in your heart, when God whispers in your soul, when God is the one who says, I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand in Isaiah 41:10, then you go, you fly like the eagles, you soar, you roar like the lions, and you just go despite the hardship, despite the darkness, despite the rejections, despite the falls, despite saying, I can't do this no more. God's like, I got you. I'm helping you. You will not quit. Let's go. And that's what God has done. And now it's not only medicine, but now preaching the gospel worldwide, from Pakistan to Iraq to Iran to Africa. And it's just beautiful to be with God, to be his boy, to be his servant, and to love people and to love God, to love and serve people and to love and serve God.
So good. Just kind of on a personal note, I was born and raised in Tennessee, not far from Chattanooga. And so when you said that you went from living in the Holy Land to living in Chattanooga, and then another culture shock, which might have been just as big, to go from Chattanooga to Southern California. Yes. Brother, you have done some traveling in your day and you have seen some different folks. And I was trying to figure out how this guy from the Holy Land preaches like a Southerner. Now I know, because you were raised in the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. And that's pretty amazing. Now let's kind of unpack a piece of your testimony that I find so intriguing. And I want you to talk to me about those 27 rejections. I am always intrigued to ask leaders how they overcome adversity. And that must have been difficult, to say the least. I would love to know how you persevered through that time.
Wow, it was probably the darkest and the hardest time of my life. And the darkest and the hardest time of my life, Brother Dan, became the light that shined in my soul, because the light was Jesus Christ. So I started USC, University of Southern California, as a pre-med student. And my whole life now was built around being a heart doctor. Everybody knew it, man. Oh, that's the kid from Tennessee. He wants to be a heart doctor. You know, everybody knew it, because they'd say, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And you'd share with people. And people had confidence in you. They believed in you. And I believed that God is my God. He is my Savior. And I went full force. And I studied like a mad boy. I gave my all. In the third year in my undergrad, I applied to the 9 medical students and medical schools. And one by one by one, I'm getting rejection letters. I'm thinking, what in the world? I'm about to be a senior. Where do I go from here? I got to get in medical school. Everybody's like, did you get in? Did you get in? I'm like, no, I'm waiting for the last letter. And the last letter comes in and shaking it and open it up. And they say, I'm sorry. Even at that time, a counselor basically told me that I don't have what it takes to be a heart doctor. Now, I just want y'all to know that I memorized that boy's face. So if I ever find him on my cardiac cath lab table, I'm going to say, y'all, you remember me? I'm the boy you said didn't have what it takes. And that's not revenge. That's just love, because that's what God has done in my life. I know going through that now that Jesus at that time was my Savior, but he wasn't my Lord. And I'll share what I mean by that. I tried to apply to a master's program at USC Medical School. I was rejected in getting in. I persevered anyway. So a big word for us here is perseverance. A big word for us is endurance. You know, it's because suffering in Romans chapter 5 comes. You can't help suffering. You can't help failure. You can't say to the darkness, stop it. You know, God has given us authority in Luke chapter 10. Verse 19, to overcome all the powers of darkness, yet the powers are around us. There's weapons forged against us. They won't prevail, but they're still forged against us, according to Isaiah 54:17. So darkness, failures, being unsuccessful is around us. What do you do in that time? And in Romans chapter 5, it says suffering produces perseverance, produces character, and that produces hope. So there is perseverance in the midst of the hardship. there's, you know, when Peter writes to the people in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, he's talking to people, to Christians who are being massacred, who are being taken out. And he's saying, persevere, persevere. When John is writing the book of Revelation in chapter 1, he's telling the peoples to persevere. There's something great in Revelation 1, 7 coming. We're going to see him coming down from the skies. He's coming. So not only is there a perseverance in the darkness, but there's also a hope where there is one day going to be brightness and goodness and light and no sickness. And that gives you hope to persevere today, that my future is okay. The 70, 80 years may be hard, but my future, eternal future, is already fixed. It's good. It's there's no tears. There's no hardship. So you have to transport yourself a little ahead and say, no matter what happens to me, I am going to make it. And I am ultimately going to be in the hands of God. That brings hope. And in the midst of the darkness, you say, I'm going to persevere because that's going to produce hope today. So I apply to my master's program again. I don't get in. And so I go and beg the teachers, the deans at the USC school, say, just let me in and sit down and take classes with the medical students. I don't want to, I'm not asking to be the medical student. Just let me sit and absorb and take in. And he's like, you know, why should I let you? I said, whatever you do, you know that I'm going to give my heart and my soul to the school, and I'm going to make you proud. He like, wow, okay, come on in. So that's perseverance. That's like doors being slapped in your face. But you're saying, no, I know what my dream is. I know where I got to go. I know how I got to endure. So you keep on knocking on doors until somebody opens it up a little bit. So they open it up a little bit for me there. And I sat down. I'm like, whoa, I'm at the University of Southern California. I'm in with medical students. I'm not one of them, but at least I'm getting to see how what the lectures are like, what they're going through. And by doing that, I applied to medical schools again. Now this time 18. Woo, go from 9 to 18 all over America, one by one by one by one. And in fact, at this time, I'm taking the medical college admissions test. I'm studying like a mad boy. So I'm doing my part. I'm studying like a mad boy. I'm doing everything, getting books from here to there, not stopping, despite the rejections. But letter 16 comes, letter 17 comes. I'm getting rejections. I get an interview. I'll tell our viewers what not to say in an interview. Here's what you don't say. So she's like, what if you don't make it? And I said the wrong thing. I said, well, if I don't make it to medical school, I guess I can become a psychologist. Wrong, 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 wrong answer. Because I should have said, if you shut down this school with brass doors and iron gates, I will find a way to chisel through, even if it's with a toothpick. I will find a way to cut down these iron gates, and I will come in by God's grace. I should have said it, should have, would have, could have, but I didn't. And so she's like, ah. She didn't say at that time, but the letter said, ah. So I got the 17th rejection, and then the 18th rejection came in, and I was devastated. I was just like, I can't do this. That's 27 letters. So here's what you do in the midst of the hardship. You get on your knees. So I got on my knees and I said, Lord God, and I heard this voice in my soul. It wasn't audible, Brother Dan, but it was like, hey, don't call me Lord. I'm not your Lord. I am your Savior, but you have not made me your Lord. And I'm like, oh my, you know, I'm getting beat up from everywhere. Now the Holy Spirit's going to beat me up. And the Holy Spirit, by the way, doesn't beat you up. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. He's not the accuser. Satan is the accuser in Revelation 12, 9, 10, and 11. He's the one that accuses. But the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. And he was comforting me with the truth. Call God what he really is. And that day, I just like, okay, look, I'm just going to give it up. I'm going to make you my Lord. You deserve to be my Lord. You are my Lord. And I can't really separate God from Savior and Lord. He is Savior and Lord. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But in my life, in the way I was acting, he was my Savior, but he wasn't my Lord. Medicine was my Lord. So at times when we go through hardships, it's a nice way of evaluating ourselves, not to say, where's God? And how come he left me? And I can't believe I got these 27 rejections and I can't stand this no more. Why did you leave me? Really? It's a time to look in the mirror and say, what's up with me? Where have I come to? What is happening to me? Why am I in the situation that I am? We blame a lot of things on God and we blame a lot of things on Satan. but we do a bang up job of messing things up ourselves. And I had done a bang up job of not making my Lord my Lord. And so he told me, and right then and there, I said, I'm going to do the hardest thing in my life. I'm just going to give up medicine. Lord, you take it. Now, I'm telling you the truth. You take it. Part of my heart's going to die, but you take it because I'd rather you be my Lord than me being messed up. And so in 1 week after that, Brother Dan, you won't believe I finally got into the master's program at USC, and the deans called me in and they said, we've been watching you and we'd like to know if you'd like to teach our medical students. You talking about University of Southern California, one of the most prestigious medical schools in the world. And I can't get in. I'm a 27 reject 27 times. And they're asking me to teach the medical students. Now, that's got to be Jesus, y'all. You know it's not me because you saw me on paper and you saw me that I got stamped 27 times, reject, 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 up to 27. You saw who I was. I couldn't do it by my own power. In fact, God said, it's not by your power, Zechariah 4:6. It's not by your might and it ain't by your brains. It's by my spirit. And the only way you're going to survive life and get ahead in life is by my spirit. And so he taught me a lot at that time. And I'm thinking, okay, this ain't real, right? This is insanity. They're calling me in the dean's office and I'm thinking, okay, here it is. The Lord's going to take it away. I told him to take it and he's going to take it, but he's so gracious. And he ain't gracious because I'm good. He's gracious because he's good. And so I got the opportunity to, Brother Dan, to teach the medical students. And then ultimately I applied to medical school after I finished my master's and I got in by God's grace. So it's endurance, it's perseverance, but it's also looking in the mirror and taking a snapshot of my heart, my soul, where I am, where I stand. And it's also for our audience to stop for a second and say, wait a minute. It's not God that's the problem. It's not even Satan that's the problem, although he's dirty, nasty, stinking, filthy. And by the way, according to Colossians 2:15, he's defeated and he's a foe that's underneath our feet. Don't let Satan take any power away from you. He has no power. You have greater power, resurrection power in Ephesians 1:17 and 18 and 19. The resurrection power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in you if you have the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't go around thinking Satan is powerful. He ain't nothing. He is underneath your feet. You are a child of God. You are the child of the Most High God. And God loves you and he's given you all authority to take and trample Satan down, because in Colossians 2:15, Jesus Christ made a public spectacle out of Satan and all his demons. Hallelujah to the Lamb. So when you are in the trials, take a picture. Snapshot. Look at yourself. Yeah. Don't lie and know who you are and let God make the way for you.
No, that's really great. I'd love to just let me recap this. Before you came onto the program, just a little while ago, you were preaching to a group of Pakistanis with a translator. And honestly, brother, I can't imagine you preaching with a translator, because you get going and then once you get revved up, you are on a roll. So I can't imagine being the translator trying to translate for you. But anyway, you are a mile a minute, sir. But let me just recap for our listeners. You were rejected 27 times, but as I'm listening to you, I'm kind of wondering if... you know, maybe you would like to remark on this. Maybe if the Lord was your Lord sooner, it might not have been 27 reject letters, right? You know, sometimes we're our own worst enemy. And maybe it was just God's grace in your life 27 times trying to get your attention. Hey, this right here is sitting on the throne of your heart. I need to be on the throne of your heart. There are doors that I am going to open for you. And you know, when you put me in first place, all these things shall be added unto you. But until then, you think the degree or the diploma on the wall is holding the keys, but he's saying, I'm the one holding the keys to these doors. And so I want to turn you loose again. And I want you to speak to the person who they keep feeling like, they're running into one closed door after another. They're feeling discouraged. What would you say to them right now, in the way of just doing some self-inspection looking in the mirror and just, you know, evaluating where they're at with the Lord, what would you say to them today?
Well, amen. That's beautiful what you said, Brother Daniel. And so what I would say to the loved one that's listening and discouraged and bumping into walls and iron gates and there's like no hope, is there's two things that we must do. And one is to get on our knees. And I want you to shut the world out for a second, because we're going to the world, we're listening to the news, and that news is bringing fear into our lives. And so when I've, by the way, since November of 2020, I've stopped listening to the news. It's out of my life. I canceled it, and it's not going to touch my heart. So I think a lot of people are not only living in discouragement, but they're also living in fear. So their problems are being compounded. And so I want, number one, I'd like that loved one to shut the world out for a second. It's not that you're like oblivious and you're like, I'm not going to look at anybody. I'm not going to talk to anybody. I'm not saying that. It's just be still for a second. Psalm 41:10, be still and know that I am God. If you're not being still, you'll never find out the secret. And so the treasures of God are immense. And so he wants you to be still and be still in him. And the only way you to do that is really shut off the television and really shut off the radio. This is not in judgmental way, but if Christians and people who are born by the blood of Jesus Christ are listening, if we're listening to the same news and we're listening to the same number one hit song that the world is listening to, I don't understand how we think we should get different results. And so number one, shut it off. Shut it off. Shut the TV off. Shut the radio off. You don't need to listen to that. You need to listen to God. And how do you listen to him? What is he saying? I don't know what he's saying. Of course you know what he's saying. It's the Bible. It's the word of God. And we were talking about the word of God in Deuteronomy 32:47. These words are not idle words. They're not vain words. These words are your life. So if you want life to come back into your life, you go to the word of God. And the word of God will instruct you. In Psalm 119:24, it says the word of God, they are your counselors. They're your counselors. And in Psalm 32:8, it says, I will instruct you and teach you. I will care for you, counsel you, and watch over you. So you need counsel in your life. Don't run to people. Run to the word of God. Look at what he said in 32:8 of Psalms. I will instruct you. I will teach you. So when you're facing your trials and you're facing the tribulation and you're facing the failures and you're facing the hardship, look what God's word is saying. I will instruct you and teach you, counsel you, and watch over you. So my thing would be, Brother Daniel, to number one, be still. Number two, shut things off. Number three, go to God in prayer and go to God on your knees and get into the word. He will be the one that instructs you. And you're like, how can he instruct me? These words, they're unbreakable. They're infallible. They're the truth. And that's what you need in your life today, the truth.
Thank you, Dr. Sam. That's a really good word. I think that's a great place for us to conclude our conversation. I know you're super busy and I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I do want to give you the opportunity to share your website. And I know that you are a prolific author. You've shared a lot about medicine, theology, you travel a lot. So if somebody wanted to learn a little bit more about what your resources are and where they can go to pick those up, what's the website and the best place for them to go?
Yes, sir. So it's beaconofhearts.org, beaconofhearts.org. And that's the website. You could see a lot of my sermons there. We put it up. I'm on IG live under Dr. Kojigalanian. Spell that a couple of times, Dr. Kojigalanian, Dr. Kojigalanian. So they could see me live on IG at 5 o'clock on every Thursday, Pacific Standard Time. And when they go to beaconofhearts.org, Daniel, they can look, go to the store. And I have many books. The most recent ones are, I'm holding this one right here, Rev It Up. It's all in the book of Revelation. And this one is called Verse by Verse. There are two volumes. And it's unlike any other Rev book you've ever, ever, ever read, because it has cardiology in it and analogies of medicine in it. And it has geopolitical views in it today. What's happening to America, to China, to Russia, Turkey, to Armenia, to all the lands of the world. It's unreal. And so it took me 5 years and the Lord's like, child, before the rapture, can we get this book out? So it finally came out. And so that's volume one. This is volume two. And then for those peoples who don't like to read, we got Rev It Up image by image. It's all an image. And then for people who love poetry, We have Rev It Up Rhyme by Rhyme, and it's a succinct way of summarizing every chapter. So if they go to the store, and then they can go to events to see where I'm talking, or they can actually go to the media and see the little videos. And ultimately, my brother Daniels and my interview will be on the under media, under so they can watch it.
Very good. Dr. Sam, thank you so much for being with us today. It really has been a pleasure getting to know you a little bit, and I hope we can do this again sometime.
Absolutely, Brother Daniel. You're so gracious. I'm humbled to be here and humbled to speak to your audience. And God bless them and keep them and you, and shine his beautiful face upon you and be gracious to you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. God bless you, sir. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and be blessed in all that you do.
Amen and amen.